It's always good at the DMV when they take your picture and then they look at it and go, oh, God.
I've had that happen to me before.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall.
What's the date, Matthew?
Today is April 11th.
How's your taco, Matthew?
Pretty good.
Welcome to Sean Kemp Redemption. We have John Shin, well, David Glacier,
yes,
Matthew Blake,
yeah,
and a taco.
And
all right.
You.
And what are we passively watching, John?
The Clippers Thunder.
Clippers Thunder.
I mean, taco of the night.
Matt, you know this is kind of rude to eat while we're podcasting.
No, everybody wants to hear Matt's foil.
Rude to your listeners. All 10 of the listeners.
I have more than 10 listeners, John.
We're going to make you count those later,
I have 26 listeners.
All right. So, news.
26. That's just the regular.
Can we
listeners.
Just start with big news, like the important news?
I mean, that's not like the unique hits.
Matthew, what's the most important news that happened this week?
Well, there was basketball-wise.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it. What fucking podcast are we doing?
Well,
Matthew, what happened in China this week?
I ordered a taco, and I was really hungry. I think the biggest news this week was the biggest news was definitely, in terms of news, the biggest news was probably the Boston,
God damn it, get out with
the Boston Celtics winning at Miami.
I disagree. Not the biggest news.
That's not the biggest news of the last week.
John, what's the biggest news of the week?
Stan Van Gundy.
David, what's the biggest news of the week?
The surging San Antonio Spurs.
All right, David, I'm going to give you the answer. The most important news of the week is the statue of Stephon Marbury going up to China.
Yeah.
Matt?
It is in China. You asked me about China. You were like sarcastically, oh, what's going on in China? But
I wasn't sarcastic. I was quite serious.
Oh my
Do I
gosh.
Fuck around about Stephon Marbury?
I'm sorry.
Matthew, why don't you tell us about the statue?
I don't know anything about the statue.
Stephon Marbury won the championship. He won. He won it. He raised it. There will be a statue of Stephon Marbury in China.
So to give some background,
we would go through this on the last podcast.
But
we
why?
Went the
but
fight,
he's
the tears.
But he's disqualified. He's disqualified from being MVP. Correct.
Oh, why?
No, that's why he's getting the statue because he can't get
he can't get
a trophy.
Yeah,
he's not
he can't
a
get
oh
trophy. Yeah.
So he's
yeah.
getting the world's biggest trophy.
Yeah. No. So they still want to honor him by giving him a statue.
That's pretty fucking awesome.
That's awesome.
Wow. That's kind of my favorite statue, other than the RoboCop statue that has not been built yet ever.
My favorite statue is the one in Sarajevo to commemorate peace and prosperity.
Who's on that?
The only thing that the Muslims and the Serbs and everyone could agree upon in Sarajevo was a statue of Bruce Lee.
That's a good one. That's a good statue. Bruce Lee really does bring cultures together.
He fucking brings people together, man. Everyone loves Bruce Lee.
Is the Marbury statue going to be like really big?
It's probably going to
be bigger than Marbury.
Yeah,
bigger than Marbury. Wow.
It's going to be a 1.3 scale.
It's going to be 6'6" instead of 6'2" or
like
1.
You knew that it was true, but.
Will the Marbury statue be big enough to play shooting guard in the NBA, unlike the real Marbury?
It'll play as good a defense.
Zing. Wow.
I'm sorry.
The guy just won.
If you're listening,
Chinese basketball championship. Can't catch a break.
I love you, Marbury. It's okay.
Can Stephon Marbury make a comeback in the NBA?
No.
No.
Okay. Next news. Let's talk about Dwight Howard. Let's talk about the Van Gundy Howard situation. John, for people that don't listen to basketball, will you describe what happened at a press conference last week?
In the middle of a press conference before the Magic were going to play the Knicks, in front of reporters, Stan Van Gundy lets out I know that Dwight Howard has asked for me to get fired.
And who walked in right after that during the press conference, put his arm around Stan Van Gundy?
Awkward. Dwight Howard. And said, what are we going to do tonight, Stan? We're going to beat the Knicks, aren't we? It's like, yeah.
And then he walked away. And now you can talk to Dwight. And walk through the middle of all the reporters. It was something. David, what are your feelings about the situation?
It's pretty bizarre. There's a long...
It's really bizarre. It's very strange. I don't remember this ever happening.
There's a history of, like, outright hostility between players and coaches, right? That's well documented. You've got Sprewell choking PJ Carlissimo.
Yes, that was definitely he did not approve of his coach.
That's like to one end of the spectrum. And then, you know, you've got what, like DeMarcus Cousins this year basically got his coach fired, more or less, right?
Kind of.
I mean, a lot of players have gotten their coach fired, right? But few players have unsuccessfully gotten their coach fired and then had a coach out them on that.
Because
this is what makes this unprecedented.
He is the coach of the Clippers next year. I would say there's an 80% chance he ends up coach of the Clippers next year.
Sam Van Gundy's pretty good. Like, he's a pretty good coach. Widely regarded as a good coach.
Yeah, I would love him with the Clippers. Mm-hmm. I would like them a lot more than I would this year.
So you agree with David that Stan Van Gundy's a good coach?
I think Stan Van Gundy's an excellent coach.
He's a pretty good coach. I don't know.
Doesn't he have a tendency to wear down on his players?
Every coach does, at least. I mean, whatever. A fresh start with the Clippers with good players. He's already been to an NBA Finals. He's got cred. They'll listen to him. He still will have that mustache. And I think that will actually make the Clippers the team of LA over.
He's really stuck with that mustache.
Yes, he has.
It's stuck on his face.
He doesn't want to lose his authority.
I will say he's never not had to coach a prima donna or many prima donnas all at once.
And I think he's overall done a good job. I think the Magic in his tenure have exceeded expectations much more than they've fallen below.
I think that one thing with Stan Van Gundy and, like, karma or something is that, like, when he took over the Miami Heat were 25-57. He coached Miami during Dwayne Wade's first 2 years.
Right.
Obviously, you know, Dwayne Wade's a great player, would have been without Van Gundy, but he developed Wade as a young player, and he had Wade and Shaq integrate together, and they won 59 games with Van Gundy as coach, and then the next year, they add more talented players, they have a championship-caliber team. Pat Riley in the middle of the season is like, oh, wow, we have a really good team. I want to coach this team, and fires Van Gundy. And I think that...
Which is why I was able to get such a cush job in Orlando right after that, because everyone was like, oh, he should be coaching. it sounds like he's going to land in a good situation again.
I also think that Dwight Howard has proven all year to be sort of a strange superstar.
Strange?
Yeah, dick.
Yeah, you mean a clueless Twitter addict?
Yeah, someone who's destroyed his brand more than any other player in the season, correct? Is there any player that destroyed their brand more this season than Dwight Howard?
Elton Brand. No.
Elton Brand is strong. where are the Sixers at right now?
The Sixers.
Free fall.
Seven. I would bet anyone in this room $1 the Sixers missed the playoffs.
But you're the biggest Sixers fan in the room, Matthew. You were so high on them.
I would like a three seed. Who's their competition right now? Who's hovering around there?
The Washington Generals.
I would like to cover this at a later time. I have another topic to bring up.
All right.
Topic.
At a later time.
At a later time. I have one last thing to add about Van Gundy.
Go right ahead.
Shaq's revisionist history of how things went down. Shaq, you know,
the Master of Panic, he called him, right?
Yeah, Master of Panic. He implied that that they were at the top of the whole league when Stan Van Gundy got fired, and that they were a elite team that was tuning out their coach, which they were, but at the time they got Gary Payton, they got Antoine Walker, they got, you know, a
Jason
bunch of
Williams, these guys, egos.
And how many coaches has Shaq tuned out? I'm gonna go with all of them he's ever had.
Yes, all of them he's ever had. And
not Dale Brown.
And you know, they were shitty during that regular season.
Yeah, they were.
They were what? 12 games behind Detroit,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, 12 games behind
for the number one seed.
Yeah.
And they didn't get any... They didn't have anything come together until maybe the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, in a pretty weak Eastern Conference. You know?
I mean, they had a good series against the Nets second round.
Oh, the Nets. Really?
That was a good Nets team. Jason Kidd, Vince Carter. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, once again, Shaq has distorted history. His story.
Did he come out with a new story about why he did Kazam as well on the air?
I like money.
Correct! He distorts history by making it the exact thing that it was.
Wait, you read Shaq's recent memoir, didn't you, Chris?
Oh, we should be reading that on this podcast, actually. I'll bring that next time. We'll go through a little bit more of Shaq's biography.
Who ghostwrote it?
Jackie McMullen?
Maybe. Sure.
He's the resident ghostwriter for every sports biography.
What was that another biography he ghostwrote?
LeBron.
Oh.
Or she.
Oh, yeah, oh, she.
See,
excuse me.
I have no idea.
Sorry, Jackie.
That's how ghostly she is. She doesn't even recognize gender.
The LeBron book, another book?
Magic and Larry, Best of Rivals or something like that. She ghostwrote that. Maybe she just wrote that.
Yes, John.
News.
It's a later time again.
Issue number three.
Topic number three. Lamar Odom?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So what's the deal with that? What was the deal with this guy?
They bought him out.
They didn't straight buy him out, though, because he can't sign with another team.
Oh,
and they
yeah.
came to an agreement that we don't know about. But he got in a fight with Mark Cuban in the locker room, where Mark Cuban questioned his desireness to play, and Lamar Odom, apparently, from someone in the hallway who reported this, was continually screaming, "Stop playing games! Stop playing games!" Which was also alluded to in Mark Cuban's description of this, where he was like, "Are you all in with us or what?" And that was the argument, apparently, after Lamar Odom had, like, not showed up for a practice, didn't show up late for a game. And during that game, he did not return to the bench until the middle of the third quarter. I cannot remember a game where a player did not show up after halftime. And then he did. So, yeah, Lamar Odom is exiled,
essentially. So another team can't sign him?
Correct.
No, he can't play for the rest of the year.
He fucked up so bad he couldn't get straight bought out.
So he's just, they're paying him his contract.
We don't know that. There is a buyout. They settled something, but the other thing is he's eligible to be traded during the draft. His contract for next year is 8 point something million, right. And the buyout is 2 point something million. So he will have to be bought out right after the draft no matter what. So they just came to some agreement of, hey, don't show up, motherfucker. And they have the rights to trade him during the draft if they choose so.
And you're certain there's no way he can, like, surface with the Lakers?
No. That he can absolutely not.
He's under contract still. This is not the John Stark situation.
There is a precedent for this, then, the way you describe it.
Okay.
Very, very
precedent. Oh, the Alonzo Mourning precedent.
No.
Because that's another that is one. A precedent. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
My precedent was the Vernon Maxwell precedent.
Oh.
In 1995, the Houston Rockets were the defending NBA champion, but they had struggled in the regular season, finishing only with the sixth best record in the Western Conference. During the season, the Rockets traded Otis Thorpe for star shooting guard Clyde Drexler.
Huge trade.
Shooting guard, of course, is the position that Vernon Maxwell played. And Vernon Maxwell bitched about this the rest of the season as he was now a backup to Clyde Drexler.
But was good coming off the bench.
But Maxwell was a malcontent, and one day before the 1995 playoffs started, where again the Rockets were only a 6th seed despite being defending champions.
They're 5th seed.
6th seed.
Anyway.
They were a 6th seed. The Lakers were the 5 that year.
Listeners, you can look this up.
The Rockets were a 6th seed. The day before the Rockets open on the road against the Utah Jazz in their matchup, they ask Vernon Maxwell to leave the team. And he just disappears. And we don't hear another word about Vernon Maxwell the rest of the year. As the Rockets go on to an improbable title run, he just falls off the face of the earth, which is amazing because the year before the Rockets had won the title, and Maxwell was, I would say, probably their second or third most valuable player.
Yes. Where did he resurface?
Maxwell eventually his career was never the same after that, even though he was only like 28.
Was he still under contract when he resurfaced with the Rockets?
I think they actually did buy out his contract.
Okay.
None of this was consummated during telling him to go home during the playoffs. They just told him to go home. And the next year, John Lucas, a coach known for giving people
John
second
Lucas
chances.
John
Lucas the second for our contemporary listeners. Yes, John Lucas the second, then coach and GM of the Philadelphia 76ers, signed Vernon Maxwell. To give Philadelphia an amazingly forgettable backcourt of Vernon Maxwell and Dan Barros.
How did John Lucas II have a coaching job?
John Lucas II revived himself as sort of like...
Literally?
After,
with a...
After with a shot like, of adrenaline to the heart? After a bunch of heroin?
Enough drugs, he'll do it.
Yeah. After his his years-long process of successfully recovering from his cocaine addiction, Lucas became sort of like this... role model for other wayward athletes, which Lucas himself
which
was.
Which he still is.
And,
John Lucas III has saved me so many times.
And, so John Lucas II became coach of a USBL team. He mentored a bunch of players. He improbably got a coaching job with the Spurs and actually did a good job for a while, leading to this coaching job with Philadelphia.
Interesting. I was thinking of the Alonzo Mourning situation. Okay. This was like around he had his kidney problem or whatever.
When he forced his buyout?
Well, he retired.
Oh.
So what year was this? Do you remember?
I do. He was on the Nets and he ended up going to the Heat for the playoffs.
It was right after... it was right after the Nets started not... It was clear they weren't going to make
the
finals.
Right, 2003?
2000...
I don't know.
After the Spurs.
Right. And Alonzo Mourning had some health problems and was past the deadline where you could trade someone and still have them on a playoff roster. So he retired mid-season. I'm remembering this right? I think I am.
Mm-hmm.
Retired mid-season. And then a week later was like...
Was this the first time he had retired, by the way?
I believe it was the
second
time.
Because he retired for his health issues previously. And then came back with the Heat, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And went with them for a playoff run because he was simply bought out. He was not eligible to sign with another team. So Lamar Odom has that option where he can retire for reality show reasons and then come back a week later for other reality show reasons. And that is the only way he will play again this season.
You know, a lot of people have shat all upon Lamar Odom.
Literally, he's really into that.
You know, I mean, he's into the choo-choo train, but, like, Man, cut the man a break. You know, didn't he have his infant kid die? He had that traumatic car accident.
He did have his infant son die, yeah.
I'm still a fan of Lamar Odom, but he talked himself out of L.A., obviously, in a ridiculous way, because they gave him up for nothing.
Yeah.
And why did he talk himself out of L.A.? That never made any sense to me. Why did L.A. give him away?
Because he asked out. Because he was him. He clearly didn't want to play basketball that much.
If he was going to,
which is still the case. And, which is a shame. I don't know. I wish Lamar Odom well. I mean, he also sort of talked himself out of Miami after that great second year he had, right?
Well, they traded Shaq. They got Shaq for him.
But
he had a great year in Miami.
It was an amazing
year. Karan Butler and
but they were still willing to give him up. I'm just saying.
Stan Van Gundy was the coach.
So, where, if Lamar Odom plays next year, which is debatable, where do you think he goes?
I think he ends up on a desperate franchise that wants to have a marquee player to look like they're trying, that will sign him for an MLE, because that's the most he will get. And I bet it will be Portland.
Bobcats.
Portland?
Bobcats is a great
He hits rock bottom with the Bobcats.
I think that's possible, because they would give him an MLE.
Wow. No contender's going to make a run?
No.
Not after this year. He shot 6.6 points per game. He shot 35% from the field this year. I mean...
But I feel
he could get a vet minimum with the Heat, but he will take more money, which another lesser franchise will offer him. If he ends up on the Heat, I'm going to be pissed. Steve Nash end up on the Heat, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. Just going to burn everything to the ground.
Contenders can make him over.
I mean, the guy's in his 13th season. I mean, Iverson's career ended.
I think he has a pseudo bounce back year. He's traded at the deadline for a second round pick next year.
Wow,
that's my prediction.
So you don't think his career is over? You think he could still contribute to a contender?
I mean, he's not young.
No, he's like 30. 30?
Yeah, that's
he's 30.
He's like 30, 31.
Yeah, he's not young.
He's not that.
No,
he
he's
straight out of high school.
No, he played. He sat out for a year. Then he played a year at Rhode Island. He was high school class of 97.
Oh, so he was a super senior?
So he was 19 in 1997. So how old is he today? David, do the math.
He was 17.
Come on, you fucking play magic. Do the math.
Oh, so he's 32 right now.
Oh my god. 34?
Let me do that again.
No, but he was 18 or 17 in 97.
I might have added a year on to the math. 33 or 34. Whatever. Lamar Odom is old and he is done.
Wow, okay. Wow.
I mean, but it's like a mental thing, though, too, right, for him? Like, if he somehow gets it together,
it's probably
he's still
also
a pretty good
physical
player.
Thing. I mean, it's really, how many 34-year-old basketball players are there?
Well, a lot.
How many of them were worse than Lamar Odom or bring a skill set to the table that a tweener like him? Because honestly, he's a tweener at this point, without a doubt. The play's smaller than his size, really.
With the Lakers. In defense of Odom, when he was with the Lakers.
In defense of Odom, when he was on the World Championship
tremendous
team playing center, he was incredible.
He was incredible.
I mean, he played
the
five on
the
national team. It was great. I like Lamar Odom. I wish him the best. I hope he comes back.
He's had an interesting career.
I'll pose a question to you.
Yes.
Lamar Odom or Tony Kukoc?
Oh!
Very similar skill set.
Wait, no, that's...
Career
peak! That is very unfair to Odom. Odom is a legitimate... has been
unfair to Odom? Tony Kukoc? The fucking waiter's good, man.
I'll take Kukoc's career Odom for peak.
Oh, Kukoc
was fucking good. Yeah. That is bullshit.
That is
substantially better
Odom's career. Kukoc was good, but Odom was really
Kukoc
good.
Played until he was like 98 years old. Saw Kukoc just playing yesterday. Somewhere for someone.
Okay.
It might have been right across the street, but he was playing.
Odom had a good career. Odom had two different peaks. One was that one year with Miami after the Clippers, where he averaged like 18 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists a game, was the best player in a team that was one game away from making the conference finals, and is traded the next year as the best player in a trade for Shaquille O'Neal. So that was a really, really good year. A year that Tony Kukoc never
enjoyed.
Both
of those players won Six Man of the Year awards?
Yes.
Okay, so I think it's a fair comp regardless.
Kevin McHale has won a Six Man of the Year award, so I guess Tony Kukoc is as good as Kevin McHale.
Good point, man.
5 years later, 5 years later, Odom has a second peak as a super-duper Six Man for the Lakers, playing all three front court positions, averaging like 14 points, 9 rebounds a game, playing great defense for two championship teams. I think that Odom's contribution, my argument would, to you would be that Odom's contribution to those two Laker championship teams was greater than Kukoc's contribution, more crucial and necessary than Kukoc's contribution on the Bulls championship teams.
I will say Tony was pretty clutch, which Odom is not. If you're going to compare, Odom
Odom's
better
coach
defender.
The second year, his breakout second season with the Heat. Who was his coach?
Stan Van Gundy.
Thank you. Back to reality. Back to life. Back to reality. David Gleicher, last week, yep. Month, year, whenever we last did this, we asked Matthew about his favorite.
Should we have a guest profile of David here at this point?
What? No,
we already profiled him. I think we profiled
him. Yeah,
we
talked about him. We didn't have a profile of me.
They said my name.
Yeah.
I don't know. We need a profile.
What do you mean, John? I described to people that you were Asian. That's all you get. And David plays Magic the Gathering.
I'm not Asian.
How did your tournament go, David?
David is very white.
David lacks hair.
Really white.
David is the whitest person we've had on this podcast.
It's true.
That is, looking around the room, that's true. my last Magic tournament went pretty well. I made the top 8.
Nice.
In a
What knocked you out?
What? Like,
you like got knocked out on a game near the end, right?
I did. Well, I lost in the quarterfinals of the top
What knocked you out? What maneuver knocked you out
maneuver?
Specifically?
Well, there's not really... I don't know exactly what maneuver.
What mistake did you make?
I don't think I...
You made no mistakes. You played
no,
well.
I probably did make a mistake, but I'm not sure what it was. It was... All right. My opponent got a Rune Chanter's Pike on an Invisible Stalker.
Okay.
I couldn't deal with it, and it killed me. That's the short answer.
Do you feel good about how you built your deck, though, still?
Yeah, I feel my deck was very good. A lot of people played a similar deck. It's... quite what, powerful.
David, could you give our listeners...
Do you feel that you were rearranging the deck cards when you lost?
What?
I don't know. I don't feel that because I don't understand.
What's a secret card for people to slip into their deck that most people wouldn't think of when they're playing Magic the Gathering?
I mean, it really depends a lot on the format, but for instance, in the current standard format, I've been considering playing an unsummon in my blue-white Delver
what?
Deck.
Are you serious?
Why is that a good strategical move?
Is that really a good strategic move?
It's good because it's like a virtual fifth copy of this other card, which you're normally only allowed to play four of a card. So
okay.
It's just adding some redundancy. Like
it gives you, an extra card there.
An extra card of the same
and that,
kind.
That's something that's being used currently more like, so in modern games?
It's like when you trade for Clyde Drexler and you've already got Vernon Maxwell on your team. It's just like an extra.
That's an excellent segue, David. All right, David. What?
I would like to thank everyone who didn't fast forward through that. Anyway,
are you shitting me? Magic players are fast forwarding to that right now. These are tips from a fucking ranked champion.
I smell a new demographic.
They smell like Magic the Gathering players. David, we play a game. It's a game where you're going to give us a player, and we're going to throw out other players. To decide which player you like better. We lose this game if we name a player and you say yes, but we want to get as close as possible.
Is he still the GM making a new team up?
We can determine this as we go. Maybe we'll determine that once. David, what player would you like to choose?
So I'm supposed to choose
someone you
like or
someone you perhaps
like.
Overrate a little bit.
A sentimental
someone
favorite.
Sentimental favorite.
Okay. Yeah, let's go with that.
A franchise with.
Let's just throw out my first and most irrational favorite player, Josh Smith of the Atlanta Hawks.
That's an excellent choice.
Okay.
David is the biggest Hawks fan we all know. And he's also the only Hawks fan we all know, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, ever in my life. I don't even think Dominic Wilkins was a Hawks fan.
I think I once rooted for the Hawks.
Anyway,
we're going to do Josh Smith. Since his career is not over, your choice is you get peak Josh Smith for 1 year. The peak of Josh Smith, whether it be in his past, present, or future.
Could be in the future.
It could be. It could be at any point.
Let's say the bad.
Let's
not imagine a hypothetical great Josh Smith.
Everyone imagines hypothetical Josh Smith. That's why Josh Smith exists, to be hypothetical.
Yeah.
All right, so you get to choose your GM for a team for 1 year. Contracts do not matter. Right. Your choice is either, first, hypothetical Josh Smith or the peak of Corey Maggette. Who would you choose?
I will choose Josh Smith.
Who's ready for Josh Smith?
Matthew, your call.
Rudy Gay or Josh Smith?
Ooh, that's...
I mean, I'd choose Josh Smith, honestly.
Pretty.
Peak?
It's closer, but... Yeah, I'll stick with Josh Smith.
All right.
So I understand the goal is to get as close as possible, but not have me choose the player you say.
If you say yes, we lose the game.
Okay. I get it.
Okay.
Dig deep, John. Super deep.
Josh Smith, very talented, but sometimes underachieving. Let's go with... Stephon Marbury.
All right, Marbury. Who do you got?
I mean,
you're starting a franchise.
I mean, Marbury made All NBA team 1 year.
He did.
2003, third team.
He's pretty good.
I would probably take Josh Smith for his size. Marbury. Even I don't think peak.
Josh Smith hasn't won a championship in China, as far as I know.
That's true. Somebody's got a ring there.
But
what is your choice, David? Josh Smith or Stephon Marbury?
I'm going to choose Josh Smith.
All right,
I'm gonna stick with Josh Smith.
All right, David. Josh Smith or Joe Johnson?
Oh, now, this is obviously an emotionally very difficult moment for you.
Yeah, come on, Hawks fans.
This is terrible.
Come on, who you got?
This is like asking Hawks fans between the
hands are over his face. It is like someone just played a Rune Stalker on him.
That's actually really close to a Magic card name. I think I gotta pick Joe Johnson.
Oh
my goodness,
David! Explain this. Joe Johnson is this Joe Johnson on the Suns?
Yeah,
I mean contracts are not a factor, but you were going good. Joe Johnson over Josh Smith to start your franchise.
He was a beast on the Suns there, and then
both of you, who would you choose?
Once he got to the Hawks,
I picked Joe Johnson.
It's like
Joe Johnson's the franchise.
It's like having a delicious piece of fruit someone shit on.
Or eating money with a delicious piece of fruit on it.
Joe Johnson.
Having a plate of just okay tacos.
I just had two tacos. I pick Joe Johnson.
I pick the plate of okay tacos.
Yeah, I would also take Joe Johnson, but it's extremely close. David? I thought you liked Josh in this more than that, but...
Wait, so can John and I keep playing?
No, because the game's over.
But I'm still in the game.
Okay, fine.
Won by
all right, one more. Play on.
Sure.
Go ahead. So is it on to Joe Johnson now, or is it still Josh Smith?
No, Josh Smith. Josh Smith.
Tom Gugliotta.
This game's over.
All right, this game's over. I just wanted to say Tom Gugliotta.
It's time, Matthew. What time is it?
What time is it?
What time is it?
What game are we playing? What's it called?
The Matthew. Card game.
No, you have a special name for it, Matthew.
I don't know.
It's something about relevance or something?
The game of... the
Reflection? World. Reflections and Thoughts?
Oh, this game is called Reflections and Thoughts. It's sort of a meditation from me on basketball players that were in the game 20 or 30 years
ago. Well, actually, it's not just you. Everyone gets to play, but no one other than Matthew will win this.
Just true.
Because this motherfucker picked out Bob Thornton the other day in 25 seconds. I'm reaching into the frozen envelope to pull out a card. Do not look. Don't look. David, you're playing.
He's really going into his freezer, folks.
I'm picking a random card. Do not look.
I'm opening a beer.
Ooh, okay.
John is opening All right. random beer.
I'm going to tell you that this card I have is a skybox. Stop looking at me.
I'm not looking at
you. Is it a hologram skybox?
This is from the inaugural edition of Skybox.
Ooh, 90, 91. 90, 91? Is that right?
I'm not telling you.
89-90 or 90-91.
I'm not telling you.
I think it was 90.
That's part of the hint.
Because the Inago Skybox rookies were like Payton, I think, and Lionel Simmons.
This is card number...
That's true. 90-91 Lionel Simmons. On the Kings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
It's an important card.
We know. I hope it's Lionel Simmons.
Card number 265.
Lionel Simmons.
This person is 180 pounds. And
point guard.
They
180 pounds.
Are 6'3".
A little on the skinny side.
This is enough. Alright, I'm going to tell you how many steals a game. Because Skybox is nice enough they put per game things instead of total numbers on here. I really appreciate that. Steals per game, 1.04 his career.
You're giving me his career steals per game?
That's correct.
Hey, well, you have this weird...
Per 48, 1.1 steals. Blocks, 0.1. Per 48, 0.0. Free throw percentage in this current season is 788.
Wait, in this current season? So we're
the season of this card where it was printed.
Oh, okay.
Is 788. Field goal percentage... 404 for this season.
Yikes.
Career? 455.
That's bad for 1990. Assuming it's a career 455.
So rebounds.
This guy's on the downward swing.
Rebounds career 2.6. Rebounds in a season, this season 1.7. Are you ready? You're going to get some real clues though.
I think I got it.
Tell me who.
No, bullshit, you have it.
Brad Davis.
It's incorrect.
Points?
Points per game. First of all, for all guards in the NBA.
No, I'm just kidding.
All guards in the NBA. Because Skybox also, interestingly, gives us the stats for all guards per 48 to compare this to.
No, that's a good...
Yeah, it is. All right, so for this season, all guards average 11.4 points per 48.
Actually, that's sort of a bullshit statistic.
Yes, it's a bullshit one, but thank you, because it's better than total rebounds, which I don't care about. You're going to make me do math? Per all 48, this player, this is per 48 for this year, points per game. The average is 11.4. Per 48, 24.1.
So he averaged 11.
Alex English.
Incorrect.
No. So he averaged I kind of lost you there. He averaged 11.4 points a game. But
no, that's all guards in the NBA combined. That year. Okay, I just wanted to throw that out there in case somebody was wondering. Also, all guards free throw percentage, 80%.
Okay.
He averaged per 48, 24.1.
This guy, okay.
This year, his actual number per game points,
yeah.
8.2.
Ooh.
Okay, let me,
yeah.
give me 2 seconds to think about this.
I'm going to count them.
No, just give me 10 seconds. Give me okay.
Okay,
I'm gonna keep on going.
Okay, well, I don't have the same encyclopedic knowledge of statistics.
I'm still giving against this card.
Okay.
He is playing defense against a white man on the Lakers, and his number is 31.
Who, the white guys?
The white guy is number 31 on the Lakers. Not this player, but the team he is playing was mentioned in a popular hip hop song. Where they play the Lakers.
Oh. So this guy.
Sonics. Nate McMillan. No. Hersey Hawkins. No.
Those are incorrect.
It's like a back. It's got to be a backup.
The Sonics.
I'm going to get this.
8.2 points per game on the season.
90?
Straight numbers. 40. Field goal percentage, 40%. Free throw, 78.
Per 48
rebounds,
is huge.
1.7. This is straight. Not balanced. Assist 1.1, steals 0.4, blocks 0.0. I told you he was 180 pounds, right? And 6'3"?
Sidel 3.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Matthew.
We don't know what
you're whenever
you're
on
right?
the fucking mic, you don't got it. 90-91.
Oh,
90-91.
I'm going to tell you.
Quentin Daly.
Correct!
Oh!
Quentin Daly is correct!
Oh, shit! Oh! Way to go! Wow!
Quentin Daly! Wow! Is correct.
That's a dig deep.
Matthew, here you go.
Oh,
Quentin Daly. Can I talk a little bit about Quentin
Daly? Please tell us about Quentin Daly.
Quentin Daly was drafted in 1992 by the Chicago Bulls.
92?
82 by the Chicago Bulls. 82.
Honored by the Chicago Bulls.
Out of the University of San Francisco after he was convicted of sexually assaulting a woman.
That's correct.
Oh, wait. In California?
Yeah.
Yes.
Women's organizations vociferously and persistently and understandably protested outside of Chicago Stadium the entire year of 82-83.
The entire year.
Quinn and Daly on the team. Quinn and Daly entered drug treatment so many times that I lost track. Quinn and Daly also put the University of San Francisco on the death penalty in college basketball due to money.
How many people literally died from this?
From Quinn and Daly?
He put them on the death penalty?
What? How many people is Quinn and Daly murdered?
Quinn and Daly's murdered no one that we know about.
Okay. Did he murder the Sonics that year, Matthew?
The Sonics murdered themselves with an inconsistent team and Dale Ellis's persistent injuries. And also Xavier McDaniel didn't turn out to be a superstar.
Yeah, let's let's not forget the X-Man.
The X-Man.
Never forget the X-Man. It's important. Matthew would like to add a note to his last comments.
I would like to make a correction. Quinn and Daly was not convicted. That was actually sort of the uproar of the situation, is that there was a lot of evidence that he sexually assaulted a woman in a University of San Francisco dorm room, but he was never convicted of this.
I think
my apologies.
Your apologies to Quinn Daly, should he be listening.
Fuck that. You get accused of rape, you're a rapist.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation, no breathing. Don't give a fuck if I cut my arm bleeding. This is my last resort.
A date with texting a girl.
Major intersection.
Alright.
Choosing.
We are doing playoff. One prediction and one hope, let's say. How's that?
Playoff predictions and slash year-ish in review.
Sure. We're going to go one by one, starting with John Shin.
All right, so...
Give us a playoff prediction.
All right, so, you know, and...
He's got notes.
This guy's reading from a teleprompter.
Good, prepared.
All right, anyway. Well, yeah, because I fucking TCB. Fucking TCV, motherfucker. Anyway, so,
it's a drug. It's okay, Dan.
Oh, okay.
No, it means taking care of business.
It's what Elvis had tattooed on, so. Yeah.
And it's all over Memphis.
David likes TCVY.
Anyway. Oh, snap.
Anyway, so, we're deep in the midst of a playoff hunt. We're in pre-playoff season.
We are.
Yeah.
We just watched the Bucks lose to the Knicks.
Yeah. And looking at the schedule, Philly doesn't have that hard a schedule left. I will predict that the Knicks will make it to the 8th seed at least.
Your prediction is Knicks 8, Philly 7.
Philly 7.
What do you hope happens?
I hope Philly drops, actually, and the Knicks go to 7. For a first round matchup against the Heat, which would be fantastic because Carmelo Anthony is due for at least a 145 point performance in these playoffs.
I would agree.
And I hope it does not happen against the Bulls. I would love for, say, a 2-3 lead with the Heat going into game 6 in Madison Square Garden, where they will most definitely lose. And you know, I don't know if you remember going into the rookie year of LeBron, but there was all the Carmelo LeBron talk.
It's true,
and it's true. We thought that it would come to fruition, and it never has. And I would love to see that come full circle.
I would also love that playoff matchup.
That'd be a great matchup.
Carmelo Anthony against LeBron. One's clutch. One is completely clueless in the last 2 minutes of a game.
So let's say this does happen. Let's say it's Miami gets the 2, New York gets the 7. What would you really think would happen in that series? I mean, your hope would be the Knicks like win in 6 or something. But what would
I hope
you
the
think
Knicks win in fucking 4. What are you talking about? Fuck
You know, whether it goes to 6 or 7 depends.
I would predict that he would win in
Six or five.
Yeah.
But give him a no run. One can guard Carmelo. That all depends on how many 40-point games Carmelo throws up, which is...
Well, there's no Amari and there's no Lin, so whatever. It's Melo and whatever else they throw around him. For a first round?
Yeah, first round. Yeah.
I mean, they don't have anybody else. I mean, it'd be exciting if they could beat them, and if you were a Knicks fan.
I mean, as much as I hate the Knicks being good is good for the NBA. I mean, like, there's fucking, what, 7 million people
in
Manhattan.
The Knicks being interesting is good for the NBA, yeah. And they're definitely interesting. Can I make my predictions next?
Okay.
All right. For the my hope for and my East. Prediction. Uh-huh. My hope is that the Bucks make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Because Brandon Jennings should play in the playoffs. And I hope the Knicks or the Sixers drop, because fuck both those teams. My prediction is Derrick Rose does not play in the first round of the playoffs against one of those teams.
Whoa,
and the Bulls are dropping to a 2 seed, and they are going to play one of those two teams, the Knicks or the Bucks, and Derrick Rose will not play in that series.
Ooh, right. Interesting. Interesting.
And I also predict the Bulls win that series.
I think that's a smart prediction that Derrick Rose won't play in the first round.
But do you think the Bulls are going to drop to the 2 seed?
I don't know. Right, Miami's been sucking.
And the Bulls have been playing pretty well without Derrick Rose.
Their difference in the loss column as of today, 1.
2.
Miami is 3 games behind Chicago right now.
Well, that's games behind, but in the loss column, it's 2 games. That's
it. Two games in the loss column.
All right, whatever. Yeah, I predict the Bulls end up a 2 seed.
Well, okay, so hold on. Chicago is 44-14 right now. And Miami is 40-16.
Chicago ends up the 2 seed.
Okay, wow. That's quite the... Okay.
And Derrick Rose misses the first round, and they still win it. It's totally within
the realm of possibility.
That's what I think is going to happen. This is Miami's lull. They're going to push it. And the Bulls don't have another gear than the gear that which they've already played.
They've done very well with... But they have to work so hard... on every possession.
But they do.
They're so injured.
Yeah.
I mean, they've kind of played this season kind of the exact opposite of what you should do for it. By overplaying everyone and pushing people back. I think the Derrick Rose played that Knicks game.
I think they need to give
Dang
more minutes. They're not giving Dang enough minutes.
Yes, they should.
Dang's playing a lot of minutes.
They should send him to the D League on off days and have him play more more minutes, just in case.
I mean, at least they're accomplishing what they're intending to accomplish by playing them all these minutes. Like, even with Derrick Rose injured,
I mean, he's held up and done well. I mean, what can you say? He's an All Star.
Everybody else on that team too has played like pretty well. I don't know. This is mostly coming from just watching the game yesterday, but. They were playing very tough.
David, do you have a prediction and a dream?
Right, I have a quotation I heard.
Oh my God.
I have a quotation I heard. This relates to yesterday's game when they beat the Knicks. And Kyle Korver played pretty well. And Jeff Van Gundy commented. Korver got I don't know if you could call it a key block, but a block.
A second block or first block?
Later in the game. I don't know. It might have been a second.
It was a second.
Jeff Van Gundy commented, there should be a penalty box where you go if you get your shot blocked by Kyle.
He said that on the first block. And then on the second block, he's like, no, I recount that last statement. You do not bring it in down low against Kyle Korver.
David, is that your maxim for the playoffs? You do not bring it in down low versus Kyle Korver.
No, I think the first statement's more accurate. There should be a penalty box
if you get blocked by Kyle Korver.
All right, well, that's your dream. Do you have one playoff prediction for the East for us?
Playoff prediction for the East. Hawks win their first round. Wait, who would they be playing? The Magic? Please tell me we get another Hawks Magic series.
The Hawks would be playing Boston. As of right now,
Boston.
Hawks versus Boston, which they are losing.
That would be a pretty sweet series. Realistically, they probably would lose, but I'm going to say they'll win.
The Boston right now is eerily reminiscent of their run against the Lakers.
Yeah, yeah. When does Al Horford come back? Like 2001.
I didn't honestly even know
what
he
year.
Was not playing. So.
Matthew, prediction, dream.
My prediction is that for all the wonderful, wholesome things we've said about the San Antonio Spurs, that they will knock it out of the second round of the playoffs.
I thought you were going to East Conference.
Well, Matthew, but yeah, expanded.
I was curious about the Spurs.
I hope I they have make some it to the conference finals. Spurs in the conference finals is one of the things I'm most excited
about. How are they playing so well?
Because they're good at basketball.
Okay, so who's it's going to knock them out then?
How are the Bulls playing this well? Without Derrick Rose. It's similar.
A little different.
I think that flawed teams, Clippers and Grizzlies, two very flawed teams, but two teams with simply more talent than the Spurs. I mean, when you guys are talking about, I don't know if the Bulls can kick it into another level, I think you can say the same thing about the Spurs. Also, another thing about the Bulls and Spurs is that with the shortened season, there's actually a strength of schedule component. The Bulls and Spurs have had the easiest schedules in the league. I don't know if that means that
the Bulls
much.
Also had the hardest schedule to start the season, and it's gotten easier since then. But they started out with the hardest schedule in the league, and have, I mean, there's a reason we just read the Heat record. The Bulls have played tons of games. I think that is not factored into John Hollinger's strength of schedule, is how many games you play in a week.
Is that what you're basing this on, John Hollinger's statistics?
Continue.
I'm basing on the opponent's winning percentage,
which you got from John Hollinger.
Which I probably got from John Hollinger.
All right.
Who's a fool?
All right.
So Spurs.
That's on the record.
Spurs, I'm saying the Spurs are not going to knock. I'm not saying they're a fluke, but I don't think they're going to go deep in the playoffs.
And what's your dream? What do you want to happen, Matthew?
I have many dreams. My dream is for Memphis to make the NBA Finals. My dream,
which you predicted at the beginning of the year.
Yes.
Still fine.
My dream is for the Bulls to beat the Grizzlies in the NBA Finals.
Cool.
It's a nice dream.
Mm-hmm. My dream is for the Pacers to beat the Heat in the second round with Danny Granger going crazy.
And Reggie Miller making a comeback to hit the final three-pointer.
And I have just one more dream I want to say.
Go ahead.
This was inspired by a loyal viewer, Lee Fiorio, who...
Viewer, Matthew?
Who has numerous technical issues with this podcast, but no matter.
Of his own.
What browser is he using?
I don't know.
Apparently one that doesn't allow you to download MP3s. Or play them.
Anyway, once Lee gets into the 21st century, he can listen to this and listen to the fact that he pointed out last night that it would be cool to see the Clippers and Lakers play each other in the first round, and I agree. I think I would to see a 4-5 Clippers-Lakers series.
Agreed.
With the Clippers, of course, emerging victorious.
Good job, Lee. Good dreams.
Agree. Hold on.
Oh, John, continue.
Well, let's continue with the West.
It's for you.
John, would you like to continue with the West?
Well, okay, yes, I would.
Matthew, you already started the West.
on Matt Blake's tangent, or not tangent, excuse me. You know, of the top five seeds, Oklahoma, San Antonio, Lakers, Clippers, and the Grizzlies in the West, Matt Blake just answered my first question, which team is not going to the second round? Spurs.
Lakers.
No, I think the Spurs are getting to the second round. I don't think they're getting past the second round.
Oh, okay. So which team is not going into the second round of
the
that
Lakers?
Five? Lakers?
Yep. Lakers are so fucked.
I'm going to say Lakers too.
If the Lakers play the Clippers in the first round, the Lakers have their number. Whether
Bullshit. How many times did the Bulls beat the Heat in the regular season last year?
Oh.
All of them. It didn't matter.
No, but they have more experience.
Has Chris Paul? Chris Paul has been to the conference finals.
Mm-hmm.
No, he hasn't.
Chauncey Billups.
Against the Spurs on the Hornets. Yeah, he has.
No, he hasn't.
Yes, he has.
No, they lost in the second round to the Spurs.
Whatever, he played a lot of good playoff games and was good at being at the playoffs guy. With the exception of Vinny Del Negro, who is awful, but I think could be offset by Mike Brown very easily, I would take the Clippers in that over the Lakers.
Oh,
Lakers are fucked.
Pardon my cell phone, listeners.
Shh. Any other predictions or thoughts for the Western Conference?
If I could just jump in, I agree with you.
You may jump in, Matthew.
Even though I obviously hope the Clippers win, I agree with you that I think the smart money would be on the Lakers in that series just because of their experience.
The smart money is never on Andrew Bynum. It is never on that guy.
The Lakers won two titles. Andrew Bynum is their center. Bynum didn't play, but it didn't matter because they had Bryan and Gasol, and they had more experience and talent.
Bynum is a winner of being this, like, the second best center in the league by attrition, and there not being enough other centers. How did his last playoff run end? What's the image of Bynum that you remember?
Forearming Jose
Barrera. Ripping off his jersey.
JJ Barrera.
In an injection.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to bet on that against a real fucking team?
Even if Andrew Bynum doesn't play second in that series, the Lakers, you know, they...
Because Kobe Bryant's never checked out on playoff series or a few games before, right?
I don't trust this Clippers team.
Both teams played hard.
You trust the Lakers.
No, I trust than the Lakers more than the Clippers.
More than the Clippers. Well, I mean, come on. I mean, they have exceeded your initial expectations for the season. I mean, okay... Everyone hates the Lakers.
Yes.
Fine. But they are number three right now for a reason. They're front-loaded. They can beat a lot of teams.
You want to talk about a team with one gear? Let's talk about the Lakers.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I'm sorry.
They have a second gear that is flat-out suck and quit.
Okay, yes, they do. But I think they have the Clippers' number. Whether for experience. I mean, granted, Chris Paul's saving himself for the playoffs.
Yes.
He's bound to throw up some 30.
Vinny Del Negro was saving himself for the playoffs, too. He's going to start coaching really well.
The only
thing that scares me about that is Vinny.
Of those five teams, you're going to say the Clippers don't make... the Lakers, excuse me.
Lakers don't make it in the second round, my choice. David, okay. Is your choice also the Lakers?
Can't the Lakers just foul DeAndre Jordan constantly?
Heck of DeAndre.
My choice is the Lakers, but it's more of a hope than, like, I'm sure this is...
That series is going to be
a very close, probably the most entertaining series to watch. Well, I don't know. One of them in the first round.
I will pose one next question.
Okay.
Who is not making the conference finals of these two? These three?
Okay.
Oklahoma City, the Spurs, or the Grizzlies?
Grizzlies.
It's rock, paper, scissors, though.
I'm taking Grizzlies.
I mean, the Grizzlies can beat the Spurs. The Spurs can beat the Thunder. And the Thunder can beat the Grizzlies.
I'm just playing odds. I mean, the Grizzlies haven't totally proven that they're all together yet, I don't think.
Yeah, so, I agree with that. As much as I hope the Grizzlies
I predicted Spurs-Thunder preseason. I'm not going to stray from it now. I mean, I'm just going to stick with my prediction, no matter what. So, no Grizzlies. David, do you have a prediction?
Yeah, I'm gonna agree, no Grizzlies, just because...
John?
Same reason.
If the Grizzlies face the Spurs, then I'm going all Grizzlies.
Interesting.
Sure. I'm going Grizzlies to beat
Spurs Redemption this year.
Spurs Redemption.
Spurs Redemption.
Oh, okay.
All right. Any other solid Western Conference playoff?
Yeah, I'm gonna lay out the whole Western Conference right now. The Thunder are going to be one, the Spurs are going to be two, the Lakers are going to be three, the Grizzlies are going to be four... The Thunder will barely beat the Grizzlies in the second round. The Lakers will beat the Spurs in the second round. The Thunder will beat the Lakers in the conference finals. There.
There you go.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Matthew.
Enough said. Help me. That's all I am.
Hey, Matt, do you want to say something about the Hall of Fame real quick? Why don't you talk about Reggie Miller?
All right. Reggie Miller's in the Hall of Fame. I love Reggie Miller. I've patterned my life after him. But what I'm going to talk about is not Reggie Miller, but Ralph Sampson. Ralph Sampson...
It's a three-time College Player of the Year in the NBA Hall of Fame. It's not the NBA Hall of Fame. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame.
I realize it's the Basketball Hall of Fame.
He's a Hall of Famer if he never played a pro game.
But
Ralph... How many other three-time... Player of the Years in college were there, Matthew? Okay. List them for me, please.
Maybe Bill Walden. You've made your point.
Okay.
I think when you say, though, well, he's a three-time College Player of the Year, he could have, you know, never played a pro game in some of the Hall of Fame. Maybe that's true. But the thing about Ralph Sampson is he did less than never play an NBA game. He is associated with disappointment. He is known as like one of the greatest busts in NBA history. Here is a man who we think about as someone who, you know,
who is a disappointment. Matthew, you're starting a franchise today with a player in their rookie year. I'm going to give you two choices, and you have to pick one. And these people have unlimited potential. Ralph Sampson or Quentin Daly.
No, or Reggie Miller. No, seriously.
Or Reggie Miller.
No, Ralph Sampson or Reggie Miller. That's a very valid question. Ralph Sampson.
Obviously, Ralph Sampson. In Ralph Sampson's first 3 years, obviously Ralph Sampson. But then after that, nothing. And Miller goes on to play 15 more years.
Yeah, but they both got to the finals the same amount of
times. Your Ralph Sampson hate has got to end, Matthew.
They both got to the finals the same. Underachiever, yes. Disappointment. I mean,
that motherfucker led the Kings to an early round pick that eventually led to Chris Webber.
Ralph Sampson is, I'm just saying, you're putting someone in the Hall of Fame who's associated with falling colossally short of expectations.
How many international players failed colossally their expectations when they came over here but are still in the Basketball Hall of Fame?
I can't name one, can you?
I don't know who's in the Basketball Hall of Fame because it's fucking dumb.
I don't know about Ralph Sampson.
That's whatever. All. If I have a choice between Reggie Miller and Cheryl Miller, I'm taking Cheryl.
Oh, that's true.
Cheryl
the
for the Hall of Fame. You gonna argue with that, Matt?
No, Cheryl Miller is more important.
If you could read my mind, Lord, what a tale my thoughts could tell, just like an old time.
Welcome to John's Weed Corner.
I just saw my weed guy right before I got here. Bought a bag of, it's called Sugar Ray. Now, I trust his name. Unlike most weed
dealers. Do you have to listen to the band while you smoke?
Oh, I don't know. That would be unfortunate. I don't know. I hope my next weed's called Third Eye Blind. But,
that'd be funny if you were stoned.
It's funny regardless. Now I just got a bag of Sugar Ray. Now I, unlike most weed dealers, after he tells me a strand's name,
yes,
I look it up online and hold my weed up to the screen and match it through Google Image, and it always matches.
So he's not lying to
you. He is not lying to me.
You have a very honest weed dealer.
And these are all high grade strains. This is organic Sugar Ray.
And it came in a FedEx envelope.
Came in a FedEx.
Was sealed.
Sealed FedEx envelope.
Did he mail it
to you? No, his brother mails it to him from California. Humboldt County, you know.
But it shows that it's that clean because it's sealed in a FedEx envelope.
Not only that, in sealed... what's that in the Ziploc...
Vacuum sealed?
Yeah, vacuum. Well, not yeah. Vacuum sealed, but it is
vacuum
sealed.
Vacuum sealed.
I guess it is vacuum sealed. It
better be.
Anyway, so last week he was out of weed, and I go see him. He's like, "Oh, I got something special for you," and I go, and he's like, "Now I'm out of weed, but you're gonna like this. I've got this weed spray."
Wow, is it like the butter spray that you spray on toast?
Kind of, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In
yeah.
That Fabio promotes it. Yes.
No, I mean it's like in a
Fabio promoted weed.
It's like in a fucking Banaca bottle.
Oh, really?
And it sprays in your mouth like Banaca.
And it's weed.
And it's weed. It's THC.
What?
Oil. I got it in all
Wait,
kinds
did you
of
do
forms
this?
Now.
And I did it, and it gave me. You know that headache you get after you smoke a bunch of weed and you're high for a really long time and then you're coming down and you're like, oh, I
It gave you that immediately?
It gave me that without getting high.
I see. Great. So this is for people who really need some weed at work and don't care if they have
Well, the California...
Weed Commission?
Yeah, Weed Commission. Whoever regulates... whatever fucking body of Californians that govern weed.
Yes.
A lot of these products, they have sodas, they have candies, they have, like... It's all under the guise of if you actually have cancer and you are someplace you can't smoke weed.
I see.
Now...
But you're disappointed in the
I'm disappointed in
the
weed spray. And call me conservative... But it's like smoking a joint like the missionary position of weed smoking? Because, like, this weed spray, I mean, what? It's like, you know, so, if you're smoking...
Can you tell me what the doggy style of smoking weed is?
Well, that's the next point I'm getting to. The doggy style, I would say, is a vaporizer.
Oh.
You know? Or a bong, I don't know. Bong is, maybe vaporizer is one grade kinkier than doggy style. And yeah, a bong, maybe a bong is doggy style.
I think that sounds right.
I want to know what crazy Kama Sutra position this weed spray is, because, like, man, fuck this shit. Because if you're in some crazy position that's, like, hurting your, like, side, you know, and you're,
it's
like,
a fucking, oh, it's I'm a stuck glory in hole this. Where you don't know who's on the other side. It's putting your dick through a thing in a strip club, and you don't know who's on the other side. But they put a condom on, and they're still blowing you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's that element of safety.
Who is it? You don't know.
You don't know. I didn't know what I was in for this party in my mouth when I sprayed it. But, let me just say, did not like it. And it also got this hint of, like, say, bong water, you know? When, like, I sprayed it in my mouth, I was like, that just tastes like the bad part of weed.
They should put some more herbs in there, some echinacea or some things.
At least some flavoring, you know, because, like, you know.
Well, it's in its infancy, this technology, correct?
Oh, no.
Really? This is a
long time?
Oh,
this is big industry already.
For how long?
Within the last 6 years, maybe.
All right. Well, I think we can do better.
I mean, California's had medical marijuana legalized for a while now.
Yeah, but, you know, the technology hasn't been there. They haven't built the $6 million weed guy yet. And, you know, my parting musing on this is, what the fuck? The fuck is this shit? I mean, there's weed soda, there's weed candy. I don't like eating weed. It's like eating a turkey dinner without eating the turkey.
I have an interesting idea about eating weed, and we're going to save that for next time we do this. And also, you're going to tell us about a time that you smoked weed on an airplane. I mean, not smoked, smuggled.
Oh, well, I can already tell you. Oh, dozens of times.
Oh, tease!
Bill Simmons is a podcaster who occasionally writes a column, and the column is sometimes misogynistic or paternalistic or Boston-centric or sometimes all of these things, therefore sometimes also racist. What you're about to hear is a poem composed of the italicized words in a Bill Simmons column, just the italicized words read aloud.
Miami, in Miami, person. Danny's wanted everything his whole life. He was an incredible high school athlete, he was a star in college, and married the prettiest girl there. He played two professional sports. He played on those championship teams with Larry and Kevin. He pulled off KG trade, and he won in 2008. This is not someone who worries about what other people are saying. Why break these guys up without a really good reason? What's the point? Desperate housewives looked. I'm not ready to be that guy yet. 50 Shades of Grey. 12 minutes a game in college. You only need 8 guys every night. That's a fluke loss. There's no way they can shoot 61% against us four times in a playoff series. The Celtics know who they are. Individual. Involved.
Simmons.
It's been 7 hours and 15 days since you took your love away. I go your love. Since you've been gone, I can do whatever I want. I can see whomever I choose. I can eat my dinner in a fancy restaurant. in the backyard.